I hope that you gave God a benediction tonight, and you'll really be glad you did after we get done here and had that minute to practice what it is that we want to live our lives for. And you know, the scriptures say as we do a worship act of generosity now through offering, that our offering flows not out of law, not out of should, but it flows out of gratitude. God's been so good. It's not, hey, how little can I give and still be considered generous? The truly undeserving person has a sense of, I want to maximize my generosity back to God. So this is our true act of worship. If you're here tonight for the first time, let that bag go by. This is our part as a community of faith at Southbrook. I want to do something, though, so don't let this interrupt your worship, okay? I want to do something right now to start us off. I'm standing on the X up here, so those of you over here to my right are one half, okay? Everybody following me? And those of you over here to my left are the other half. And what I want you to do is I'm going to have you stand and greet each other in a moment, okay? But when you do, I want all of you on this side of the room to greet each other with a complaint. I want it to be real, okay? Maybe I don't like it when he makes us stand and greet each other. That, you know, maybe about your job, your house, your neighbors, your money problems, you don't have a spouse, or you do have a spouse. Okay, so you just complain. I really want it to be real. Can you do this? Can you try to complain? Okay. Now, guess what I want this side of the room to do? When you stand up, I want you to greet each other with something you're grateful for, someone you're thankful for, and I want you to pour it out. I am so thankful tonight that when we were giving God a benediction a minute ago, this is what I was thankful for, maybe even this week. So everybody ready to do this? Okay? So this side of the room, you guys, on over. Some people are moving over here. I want to complain. you get a complaint. Okay, so everybody stand up. Ready? Stand up. Gratitude complainers, go to work. Okay? Go for it. Come on, you complainers. Okay. All right. It's enough complaining and praising. Okay, hold on. Let me raise it out. How did it go over here? You're not done yet. All right. Please sit down. We've got to stop this. You know. Now, those of you who are on this side of the room, do you feel more alive, more vibrant, closer to God because you complained for a minute? Yeah, buddy. Yeah. How many over here? You feel, you know, after worshiping tonight and then continuing that through a generous offering that you gave and then giving thanks to someone else, do you feel closer to God? You feel like more alive, more about you should. Yeah, you should, okay? Now hold on to that because look at this scripture up on the screens here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's in your program, but I wanted to make sure you saw this. So we're going to say this out loud. Now if you say, I don't like it when he makes us do that, then you need this message tonight, okay? Say it with me. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Memorize that verse. Because a baseline requirement for the life with God is a grateful spirit, a grateful attitude that is embodied in the way you talk and in the way you live. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And so if you want to, you can leave now if you don't want to become a grateful person, because you might want to do that. But one of the things that we did this week is there's this website you can go to called First World Problems. And the whole idea, Ryan Massey started this, that he found this, and he'd hear someone complain about something like, oh, it cost me $90 to fill up my SUV. He'd say, that's a first world problem. That's a first world problem. And most of the things we complain about are first world problems. We are way out of perspective on this stuff. So our worship team is lining up to complain tonight. And what they did is they just took some excerpts from firstworldproblems.com or whatever the website is. You can look it up. Google First World Problems. And so just listen to some of these gripes. Lukey, start us off.
My laptop is low on battery, but the charger's way over there.
I just don't like any of the food at the all-you-can-eat buffet.
The TV, I can't hear it while I'm eating my crunchy snack.
I am so sore from my massage.
I'm trying to text while at all the red lights, but I keep getting all the greens.
My pool is too cold.
I forgot to bring my phone with me when I went in the bathroom, and I was bored the whole entire time. I didn't have a crappy childhood. So now I can't turn my pain into art.
My arms are so tired because I had to carry in all these groceries.
I'm kind of hungry, but my roommate has guests over, so if I go in the kitchen, I'm going to have to introduce myself.
I keep receiving my neighbor's mail, so I have to wait until dark to put it in their mailbox so I can avoid them.
The L and the R have worn off my headphones, so I can't tell if I'm listening to music correctly.
I have to find my own boyfriend because my culture doesn't practice arranged marriages.
And when I recline in my chair, the top of my laptop blocks the bottom of the TV.
Oh, let's give them a hand for their complaints. Oh, man. So go look that up. Google First World Problems. And it's amazing the things that we complain about. 99.9% of them are first world problems. J. Wallace Hamilton, the author, once told about two women who went to a violin performance, and on their way home, after the violinist had given a near flawless performance, the one said, "That was magnificent, wasn't it?" And the other one said, "No, the way he blew his nose after the first number just blew the whole evening for me," she said. And so many of us live that way. So many of us miss the melodies of God all the time because we focus on the blowing of the nose. We are conditioned in this country to gripe more than ever. Now we can blog it. Now we can go on the radio. And our gripe is as legitimate as someone else's. And tonight we're going to talk about this critical, critical, critical value of having a spirit of undeserving gratitude. Because first of all, understand, it is a baseline characteristic of the life with Christ. To be a life in Christ is to live a life of undeservedness from which flows gratitude. But let's be honest, it is the key to happiness, isn't it? It's not how good your life is, it is how you see your life in the light of how undeserving your life really is. Divorce courts tell the story all the time of the grace of gratitude getting lost. Have you ever seen this? Where mates begin to focus on that physical deficiency, or they focus on that personality trait that's annoying, or that inconsistency, and over time that grows to the point where the marriage is undermined. And divorce court tells this story all the time of the power of complaint. And also the power of honor and gratitude and appreciation. I heard about a woman who just complained all the time, just had a spirit of griping and complaining. She was always on her husband's case as well and criticizing him. But one day she became a Christian and she was baptized. And yet she still complained, she still griped, she still was on her husband's case all the time. And a little later he was telling one of his friends, "You know, I don't mind her getting born again, But why'd she have to come back as herself? He said. I mean, it is such a turnoff. It is such a turnoff. I don't know if you saw on the Today Show a couple weeks ago, David George of our church of Southbury. I don't know if David's here tonight or not. David and Kristen, are you here? They're usually here at 9:30. David won the hottest dad in the United States award on the Today Show. This is Southbrook's own, okay? So, Kristen nominated him for this. And I said, Kristen, I was talking to him out in the atrium when she did this, and he was nominated. You may have seen it in the newspaper. It was on the local news. And I said, every woman in this church is going to want to know your husband after he wins this. And she goes, I know, but he's going home with me, she said. And I said, every man wants to be appreciated like that by their wife. It's just such a positive thing that you would honor David in this way. Now, here's the thing I have with that, because when David got nominated, I knew he was going to win because nobody was going to beat him. And he did. But if you're looking at that thinking right now, if my husband were that good looking, I'd overlook a lot of things too, then you're the one who needs this message, okay? Because it's not about what you have or what you don't have. It is so much about your attitude. A lot of the reason that we are like this is because so many of us have lived such idealistic lives that when everything is not perfect, and when you throw in the conditioning of our culture that essentially breeds complainers and gripers and whiners, this is what you get. You get Christians who are no different than their culture. No different in the office. No different in the home. And yet, we saw this a few weeks ago, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything. In other words, let a spirit of gratitude so overtake your life that it begins to edge out the opportunity for complaint. I listed this week some common complaints. Oh, it is too hot. I wish it would cool down. Well, you got your wish last night, okay? Wow. My husband is not romantic. My wife is not passionate. My kids don't apply themselves in school. My parents are always interfering. My church isn't meeting my needs. The sermons are too long. The music's too loud. And every one of those are probably true. Is that what really matters? Is that what really matters? There were some kids who wanted to play a joke on their grandpa, so while he was taking a nap in the living room, they sprayed a putrid bug spray under his nose on his big, thick mustache. And when he woke up, he said, "Living room stinks." He went out into the kitchen. "Kitchen stinks." He went outside. "The whole world stinks," he said. And the problem wasn't the world. The problem wasn't the kitchen. The problem wasn't the living room. The problem was right under Grandpa's nose. The problem is not the world. The problem isn't your spouse. The problem isn't your kids. The problem is you. Look at this. If you understand this, you understand. I mean, this is such a baseline attitude. It is so critical. You really can't be a follower of Jesus unless you want to be an incredibly undeserved, grateful person. Look at these words from Romans chapter 1, verse 19. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. And notice it says, it doesn't say that it is going to be. What you see in our world today is the wrath of God unleashed upon a world that is so ridden by sin. People who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We sang earlier, for the Lord to take the darkness out of us. One of the ways is to let the Lord do surgery on your heart tonight. Because a sure way to get darkened in your heart is to be a complainer. It is more dangerous than you think it is. A critical, griping spirit brings darkness. And it is an embodiment of what was happening there, Paul says. It is an embodiment of the curse of the human race, and that is the curse of entitlement. Complaining is always about, I'm not getting what I think I deserve. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled. I am owed. I am owed this. And underneath every complaint is a sense of the curse of the human race ridden by sin. The sin that I can be entitled. I am entitled. And listen to me. Listen to me. I am not exaggerating here. More people, in my pastoral view, are lured away from God by this issue than any other issue. More people are lured away from a relationship with God because the darkness of a critical spirit, a bitterness, just overtakes their life. Did you see a while back there was a video that was floating around of this teenage girl who got a birthday present? Take a look at this. I'm going to let you see this for just a minute because I hope we all see what the Bible calls grumbling. This is biblical proportion grumbling here. Take a look at this video.
That's good. That's good. Just stay right there.
Fine.
Fine. I need you to be on my side.
All right, okay. Dad. Just go get Mackenzie. Right, come on.
Come on. Good. Yeah. Come on out. All right.
Happy birthday!
No way!
Happy birthday!
It's red.
Yeah, you don't know how
Dad,
hard
it's
this
the wrong color.
Is actually hard.
Dad, it's red!
What? Mackenzie, it's fine.
I asked you a million times. I wanted a blue car, Dad.
Come on, Mackenzie.
Can you please ask me for a blue car, Matt?
Right, stop filming.
But,
okay,
oh, Dad, it's off.
Please, look, just try it, okay?
Mackenzie, it's not that bad. We can get it repainted.
Thanks for your help, Ryan. Please, all right?
It's fine.
Turn the camera off.
Daddy, come on, I want
to turn the camera off. Is that enough? It is suffering to watch that, isn't it? It is suffering. I think that's a first world problem, that you didn't get the right color car for your birthday. I think as a culture, we're so far off on this. Deborah Norville wrote a book a while back called Thank You Power, and what she talked about in that book is a person of gratitude is just, you want to be around them. It is like a light comes out of them, whereas a person who is a complainer and a griper, there's a darkness there, they're just not that much fun to be around. And she said, buy someone this book as a gift, Thank You Power, and then if they don't send you a thank you note, you'll know that you got something for them that they really needed to have as a gift. But if you get it as a gift, would you get this as a gift? If someone could buy this for you, would they say, you know, I know she needs this? Matter of fact, here's a good thing to do, because there's such a weakness in this kind of setting, because there's nobody really that can hold you accountable for this who's delivering, and I can't hold you accountable, but maybe you could choose someone to say, you know, okay, this is it. I don't want to just go a week and be like, you know, I didn't complain for a week, but then I just go right back to my same. I need a change in spirit. I need a change in character. And to do that, I need to be accountable. So maybe someone that you complained to tonight or praised to tonight, you say to them, we're going to have a code. And from now on, when we're together and you hear me complain, elbow me. Or clear your throat. Or say, whiner, whiner, 49er. Say something like that that'll just embarrass me. And then I'll begin to associate every time I complain, there is pain with that. There's embarrassment with that. Because really, you are embarrassing yourself. Maybe no one's had the courage to tell you, but you are embarrassing yourself. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, the Apostle Paul was catching that there was some grumbling in the Corinthian church. And look what he writes to them in 1 Corinthians 10:10. He references back to the time when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the desert. And then he said, don't grumble, as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Go back and read it. It's in Numbers 14 that the Lord just opened up the earth. I was just like, I'm opening up the earth and she's going down, you know. Opened up the earth. Now, some of you on this side of the room, are you a little bit worried right now that, you know? Yeah, you know, this is such a serious issue. I think the adversary loves to get us onto things that are maybe not as big issues with God as this one is. And you are enmeshed in it. I am too, in our culture. So what's the key? I mean, you could try to go for a day without complaining and you're going to work real hard. It won't work. Because a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. And after a while, you're going to bear the fruit of your spirit. And what you have to have is a change in your spirit. And so here's a question that I'd like for you to write down and wrestle with God this week. Write this down on your program. Do I see my life as underserved or undeserved? I mean, totally. Do I see my life as underserved or undeserved? The bitter life, which is really what underservedness is, I'm underserved, prolongs brokenness. That's what it does. The sad thing about the I'm underserved, the complaining life, is it just keeps fracturing your life. It incapacitates your ability to love because love is a byproduct of gratitude. Gratitude is a byproduct of undeservedness. But the grateful life, I'm undeserved, precedes wholeness. It is the life of oneness because what happens is I am so undeserving that I allow God to go to work. He makes oneness out of me. And when you are integrated as a person, it overcomes insecurity and you're able to love. The result of a life well lived is the cause that was underneath it of a life of undeservedness. Now, if you look at that, which one of those do you want? Do you want to live your life and you're just always broken into pieces? It just never seems to come together. It never integrates. Or do you want to be whole? At the core of this is this issue. Being a person who, when you wake up in the morning, everything that happened while you were asleep and everything that happened yesterday and everything that happened well that day, you did not deserve. You did not deserve. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Latin word for good is the word bene. Bene. That's the Latin word for good. And gratitude always has at its core three ingredients that have to do with good, with bene. Okay, look at these on the screen. The first one is, I think we have these on the screen, yeah, is a benefit. And that is, I perceive that it is a good thing for me. So it begins with, I perceive that what I said earlier that I was thankful for, I perceive that it was a good thing for me. And so what we did during worship was we gave God a benediction, Psalm 103. You ought to write this down. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. His benefits. What I perceive to be good things coming my way, I'm giving good back to God because he's given me so much good. The rabbis had 18 benefits, the benedictions, that they would repeatedly say to God during the day and taught their disciples to say. This is what Jesus would have taught his disciples. They would have constantly repeated benedictions. Bless the Lord for his goodness. The second factor is benefactor. There is one who does good. And so you direct your gratefulness toward the benefactor, the one who manufactured the good into your life. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. That every single good thing that comes your way, if you could trace it, you could trace it back to the hand of God. It was filtered through God. He's the benefactor. And then every gratitude reality has a beneficiary. The one who receives the good. And who is this in the equation? This is you. This is me. We're the beneficiaries. And if I believe I deserve any of that, then I won't be grateful. If I believe, you know what? I worked hard. So I'm somewhat thankful. Well, who gave you the talent? Who gave you the intelligence? Who gave you the opportunity? Remember the old story about the scientists who said, you know, we have so advanced in scientific research and the DNA, we don't need God anymore. We can create on our own. And so they went out into the dirt to go and to take dirt and from that create life. And God spoke from heaven and said, no, 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 get your own dirt. Who made your dirt? You see, true benediction life. And we know a monk who was named Benedictine because he was known for his praise. He lived a life of praise. The true Benedictine life is one that starts with, I don't deserve any of this. I can look at the cup and see it half empty, but the fact is, the fact that it's half full. I'm undeserving of that. And that's why complaining is a spiritual condition. It's evidence that the curse of the human race, the sin of entitlement, still has power over me. It still grips my soul. And the only thing that can free you and make you whole is to be broken by gratitude. A sense of, I am so undeserving. Matter of fact, there's a story in the scriptures that speak to this. There's a story that speaks to this entitlement. And I read this week, it's interesting, listen to this. That, you know, this is what causes lawsuits. Lawsuits come from, I was owed and now I'm going to sue you. I read the San Francisco Giants baseball team, the organization was sued a few years ago for passing out Father's Day gifts to men only. They were sued. Listen to this one. A psychology professor sued for harassment because of the presence of mistletoe at a Christmas party. Wow. There's a story behind that one, I'm sure. But get this one, a psychic was awarded $989,000 when a doctor's CAT scan impaired her psychic abilities. Now, you have to think about that one, because if she truly were a psychic, should she not have known not to go to that doctor in the first place? Huh? So we have this culture of, I'm owed, you know, I'm owed this, I'm owed that, I'm entitled. And Jesus comes along and he tells his story. Happens in Luke chapter 7. And he's at the house of a Pharisee named Simon. Simon, a Pharisee, was, as I taught last week, very strict, holy religious leader. Very, you know, I mean holy condescending sense, because they saw themselves as holy and everybody else is not. And he welcomes Jesus into his home. He invites Jesus into his home. And while they're there, a woman of repute, of ill repute, a woman of sin, comes into his home, takes an alabaster jar of perfume, breaks it, wipes, cleans Jesus' feet, washes his feet, and wipes his feet with her hair. It's an act of contrition and love and utter undeservedness that my crown would wash your feet. It is an act of ultimate undeservedness. And Simon says, Jesus, if you really were a holy man, you wouldn't let her do that to you. And I love this in Luke 7, and Jesus goes, Simon, let me tell you something. Top 10 phrase you don't want Jesus to say to you. Let me tell you something. And listen to what he says. He says, I want to tell you something. And Simon says, tell me, teacher. Two men owed money to a certain money lender, a bank. One owed him a year and a half's wages worth. The other owed him about 2 months' worth. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. It's called atonement. Now, which of them will love him more? Well, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, Simon. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, at first, this seems problematic, doesn't it? It seems like, okay, I'll go out and hell raise for a while, and I'll all of a sudden love Jesus as a result. That's not what it means. What Jesus is saying is, her love is a direct result of her gratitude because she realized she's undeserving. Your lack of love is a result of your deservedness, which leads to entitlement, which leads to an incapacity to love. That's what he's saying. Gratitude is nothing more than perspective. You cannot work to be grateful. It is a byproduct of a genuine perspective. Dave Phillips and I were talking a little bit ago before service, and we were talking about that video of that girl, and Dave said, you know, if every teenager in this country had to go to Africa for 2 weeks, this country would change. And I think he's right. If every one of us had the perspective, but not just materially, that spiritually our sin brought a punishment deserved to us that we could not pay, a debt that we owed that we could not owe, and Jesus took that debt away. He was the banker who absorbed the loss in his own account. Simon didn't have that perspective. The woman did. Do you? And because I want to help you be grateful, I'm going to stop right now, 9 minutes early. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm thankful this sermon is over, okay? Just say, I'm thankful. All right? Let's pray, okay? Aren't you thankful? Huh? Lord, we need this. I need this. I'm pitiful sometimes. Just pitiful. You must look down on me sometimes and think, he doesn't get it. Blessed to live in a country of incredible freedom. Blessed to live in a time of unbelievable prosperity. Blessed with friends. We're blessed with a church that is wonderful. We're blessed with health of some measure. We're blessed with clothing and food and water. We could go on and on, and yet we gripe and complain about what the 2%. And how we need the words of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Those aren't syrupy, positive thinking mush. Those are biblical reality. Gratitude is an attitude of perspective. May we have that undeserving perspective of that woman. Jesus, break us and make us a community of people that people in Dayton know to be vibrant, overflowing, not Pollyannas, but not needing to be so sophisticated that we have to demonstrate our insecurity by griping. People who are genuinely rooted in reality, a reality that births an undeservedness that births a gratitude. A gratitude that brings out love. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus, you took the bread, and after thanking the Father, you broke it. And you took the cup, and after giving thanks, you poured it. And we come to these tables up here tonight in an attitude of undeservedness. We will never live underserved lives again, but broken before you and thankful forever. Everybody who wants this, please say in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great, graceful week, everybody, okay?